The secret rapture is a teaching that's almost universally believed throughout Christianity. But this popular belief is being seriously challenged by biblical and historical research. Research that may even change your view. The rapture, is it biblical or not? That's our topic on Disclosure, starting right now. Welcome to Disclosure. I'm Gary Gibbs, sitting in for Sean Boonstra, who's out of town, but will return to the next program. Well, the secret rapture. Bestsellers have been written about it, movies made where it's central to the plot, and preachers expound on it frequently from pulpits. There's no question that the secret rapture is the dominant teaching within Christianity to describe how Jesus will return. But in spite of its near universal appeal, it's coming under intense scrutiny, and not a few question its biblical orthodoxy. The secret rapture teaching is that Jesus will come back to earth in two stages, separated by a seven-year period of tribulation. Now, the first stage is a secret coming. No one sees Jesus return. No one hears him. But the effects of his return are obvious, for all of the Christians will be taken to heaven. They'll be snatched from wherever they are on the earth. But it's not only the living Christians taken. All those who have died as believers will be resurrected and taken too. Now, that's the first stage. Now, following the secret rapture, there will be 7 years of terrible tribulation under the brutal dictatorship of the Antichrist. People will be forced to receive a stamp of 666 in their forehead or hand, or they'll not be able to buy or sell. And according to the secret rapture teaching, this tribulation will be a period of hell on earth. And then at the end of the 7 years, Jesus returns again in the second stage. This time, he's visible to all. He comes in judgment on the Antichrist to rule for 1,000 years with his saints. Now, in brief, this is the secret rapture teaching. But as popular as it is, the question remains, is it truly biblical? Many historians and Bible scholars are answering with a resounding no. In fact, some have gone so far as to suggest that the entire secret rapture teaching is an elaborate hoax perpetrated on the church. So, can the secret rapture teaching really hold up to biblical scrutiny or not? Well, we'll examine the facts today in Disclosure and give you an opportunity to weigh in on this topic by calling us. But first, let's look at the Bible in the news. Perhaps you remember the 1990s when reports of a mysterious flesh-eating disease were making headlines with an alarming frequency. And do you remember those stories just kind of disappeared for a while? Well, they're back today, friends. In recent weeks, 24-year-old Amy Copeland of Georgia has been battling a bacterial infection that has now unfortunately cost her both feet and both hands. Back on May 1st, she fell from a homemade zip line and cut her leg, and the wound just never got better. In fact, it turned out that flesh-eating bacteria got into the wound, and it's led to all sorts of horrible complications. Now, I suppose on the one hand that deadly injuries are nothing new, and before the advent of modern antibiotics, simple cuts could prove to be lethal. But flesh-eating disease has taken things to a whole brand new level. And if flesh-eating disease were the only scary development, well, maybe I'd feel better. But just consider the last two decades and the myriad of threats that we've been facing. In addition to flesh-eating diseases, we've been faced with SARS, Ebola, AIDS, avian bird flu, now a new aggressive spinal meningitis, drug-resistant tuberculosis, and superbugs that just sweep through hospital wards. And some medical experts, quite frankly, are scared that the age of easy fixes with cheap antibiotics is coming to a close. In fact, more than a decade ago, some simple ear infection stopped responding to antibiotics. And penicillin, the miracle cure of the 20th century, well, it's struggling to conquer strep infections. And now, listen to this, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is calling antibiotic resistance, quote, one of the world's most pressing health problems. Can you imagine? That's a sobering reminder that human beings really don't have what it takes to fix what's wrong with our world. Now, almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus predicted that prior to the second coming, our planet would still be plagued by things like earthquakes, famine, and pestilence. In fact, he told us to watch for an increase, which more and more people sense is actually happening right now. In fact, with every passing day, we see more and more evidence that it's no longer business as usual on planet Earth. And friend, that ought to make us glad that Jesus' dire predictions are really not the end of the story. In fact, it actually ends with a loving Creator putting everything right. And in the meantime, I'm glad that God has given us the creativity and the intellect to battle human suffering. And I pray that doctors and scientists find solutions so that people like Amy don't have to suffer so horribly over what should have been a minor injury. And it makes me long for Jesus to come so that stories like this will forever be a thing of the past. Now, in just a few moments, we are going to look at the secret rapture teaching. Is it in the Bible or not? You don't want to miss this insightful study and its explosive ramifications. And remember, you can be a part of the discussion by calling with your comments and questions. So stay with us. In a moment, I'll be back with Pastor Chris Holland for an in-depth study of the secret rapture. Today we are talking about the secret rapture. Is it really in the Bible, or is this just some clever, elaborate hoax pawned off on Christianity? Today I'm pleased to have Pastor Chris Holland on the program to study this with us. Welcome, Pastor Chris.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here with you today, Gary.
Well, the secret rapture, I mean, it's like taught nearly universally throughout Christianity. It's like the prevalent, in fact, people think it's the only view of the second coming of Christ. And we want to look at whether it's in the Bible or not tonight.
Absolutely, Gary. And our objective tonight is to not hurt feelings or to bash anybody over the head. But as Isaiah 1:18 says, it says, come and let us reason together. And Isaiah 28:10 says, let's study precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And so tonight our objective is to study the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about the second coming, specifically the secret rapture.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because sometimes, you know, this can become a battle of opinions and views. And we really don't want it to be that way, friend. And I hope we don't say anything that sounds unkind tonight. But we do want to look at this, because this is the prevalent teaching. And I want to propose something to you, that the devil surely doesn't want to see Jesus come back to this planet. And if the devil's in the business of deception, as I suspect he is, and I know he is, then Chris, he's going to do all he can to deceive us on this topic of Jesus' return. And so I think we need to be very alert, studious, and not always accept what we hear at face value, even at what we're saying here, but that you'll study. And so we want to look at the Bible so that you can study this out for yourself. So is the secret rapture in the Bible, Chris?
It's a great question. In fact, the word rapture never actually appears in the Bible.
So the word rapture isn't even in the Bible.
It's not in the Bible.
Not even in the original language.
Not in the original language.
Okay.
And then certainly the word secret never is associated with the second coming of Jesus. Not one scripture associates a secret to the second coming of Jesus.
So in all the Bible, it never says secret rapture. It doesn't even say rapture. Now, of course, we use biblical terms today, unbiblical terms to describe biblical concepts like Trinity. The word Trinity is not in there, but we believe in that. How does this differ than like Trinity? Okay, secret rapture is not in the Bible. Trinity is not in the Bible, but there is a triune Godhead. How does this differ from that? Or does it?
The greatest difference is that while the concept of the Trinity is clearly identifiable in Scripture, another word would be the word millennium. Never appears in the Scripture, but we use it to describe the 1,000 years of Revelation. However, the word secret rapture, the concept of secret rapture, not only do those words never occur, but the concept itself is not in the scriptures anywhere.
So what are some of the texts that indicate that?
Well, one of the interesting texts is Jesus' last words before he ascends to heaven in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew 28.
So that's the last chapter of Matthew and the last few verses, you're saying. So this is the Great Commission. We
yes.
often think about it in that context.
And here Jesus says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now here's the question that's begged to be asked by this text. if Jesus is going to be with us until the end of the age, why, if he intended to come secretly before the end of the world, would he need to be here until the end of the age? Yeah.
So if the Christians are being raptured out, snatched out 7 years prior to the end is either the end or it's not the end. And he says, I'm going to be with you to the end of the world, other translations put it.
Absolutely.
And we're not going to be here. He's going to be here all by himself.
Correct. That's exactly the point. And so if Jesus, and we will see this as we study, it would seem with something so important as a second coming, if this was really a secret, it would seem that Jesus would make it clear. Because we have to remember in John 3:16 and 17, the objective of Jesus is to save, not to condemn. He would teach us.
Yeah, he's not making it hard for us.
That's exactly right.
What about another text that indicates this is not the secret rapture 7 years prior to the end?
If we go to Matthew chapter 13, we'll stay right in Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus telling the parable of the wheat and the tares. We begin in verse 30. It says, let both grow together, speaking of the wheat and tares, until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. What's the point? The wheat and the tares are growing together. Mm-hmm. The secret rapture teaches that God's people are raptured out, and then for 7 years, the wicked stay on the earth until the appearing of Jesus.
Yeah, it's actually kind of the opposite, isn't it? Jesus says the wheat and the tares grow together. The wheat are the believers, the tares are the lost people. And he says they grow together to the end, and then the angels come and gather out the tares and burn them.
Absolutely.
Destruction.
Absolutely. And so again, we have this text that outlines that the righteous and the wicked, God's people and those against God, are going to be together until the very end. There is not going to be some secret removal of the wheat or God's people. Yeah.
And that's really biblical. It's right there, friend, in the Bible. Just get your Bible, look at. But you might be saying, as I've heard taught, you really have to understand the original Greek language of the New Testament manuscripts to find the two stages of Jesus coming. One is the parousia, and then one is the apocalypsis. That's the revealing. So the parousia is the secret coming. Nobody will see him. The saints will be snatched out. 7 years of tribulation. Then the apocalypsis, the revelation, the revealing when everybody sees him. And it's proposed to us in these books and everything else on secret rapture that that's the distinguishing indication that there are two stages of this. Is that what does the Bible really support that in the Greek language? I mean, you've studied the Greek language.
Yeah, absolutely. Not only have I had the chance to study the Greek, I've actually taught Greek, and I don't consider myself a scholar, but this is the important point. The word parousia and apocalypsis are used in the scriptures interchangeably. And I think one of the key places we can go is we go to the writings of Paul, and we see Paul himself. Because some will argue, maybe one writer's going to use another word and then another word. Mm-hmm. But Paul himself uses the two words interchangeably. Why don't
interchangeably to describe the same event. Give us an example of that in Paul's writings.
1 Thessalonians 4:15.
All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which talks about the second coming of Christ. Let's look at that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and you say verse 15. You want me to read that?
Yes. Why don't you read that, Gary?
Okay, so we're here in verse, let me get the right chapter. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep.
Okay, now here that Greek word in the original language, if you go and study the original, or if our viewers at home get out their concordance and look that word up, they are going to find it to be the Greek word parousia.
And that's for the English word, the coming.
The English word, coming. That is the Greek word parousia,
which is supposed to refer to the
secret rapture, according to those who teach the theory.
Okay.
However, we go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8.
All right. And Paul, by the way, writing to the same group of people,
author of both books, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8.
Okay.
He says this, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming.
And that is the same Greek word, parousia.
That is the same Greek word, parousia, but here's the challenge. In the theory of the secret rapture, the Antichrist does not come on stage until the 7-year tribulation that happens after the secret rapture.
After the parousia.
But here Paul says the parousia, which secret rapture theorists teach is the secret rapture, Paul says the Antichrist will be destroyed and consumed. So we have ourselves a little bit of a problem with this teaching.
A big problem, yeah. If you ask me. Because, I mean, listen, the average person doesn't know the Greek word, no. The Greek language of the Bible manuscripts. And so when a preacher gets up there and says, this is it, we take it.
Yes.
At face value. Why would the guy lie to us? Well, he might not be intentionally lying. He just might not know what he's saying, and he's parroting back what he's read. And once a lie gets going, that the devil starts, it takes on the realm of truth, but it's not.
Absolutely. And as you started the show, I want to encourage our viewers. They don't even need to take our word for it. And certainly, I hope
Absolutely.
They do not. They need to study the scriptures themselves. And this is plain. You can go to any concordance, any Bible program online, mm-hmm. and see that this is the exact
that
same
these words are used interchangeably, and that the parousia destroys the Antichrist.
Absolutely.
Well, we've got some other things to talk about when we come back from the break. What about one shall be taken, the other left? What about Jesus comes as the thief in the night? Key texts that are used to support the secret rapture theory. And we're going to look at answering this question. If the secret rapture is not in the Bible, then where in the world did it come from? We've got an expert researcher guest coming on the program shortly. So stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back and we're talking about probably one of the most explosive topics in Christianity. Is the secret rapture biblical? Listen, we don't want you to take our word for it. Write us, call us, ask us questions. You can be part of the program today. The contact information is there on your screen. And also, we have a free study guide for you from Disclosure. Study guide I wrote, Revelation's Glorious Rapture. It's free for you, just asking. Contact us online, go to our website. You can get this free and you can study it out for yourself. And you can see what the Bible really teaches about the secret rapture. Well, Chris, all right, one will be taken, the other left. What's the Bible say about that? Where do we find that in the Bible first?
Matthew 24 and Luke 17. I think we'll start in Matthew 24,
okay.
Verses 37 to 39.
What's it say there?
Well, I'm going to actually just emphasize the teachers of the secret rapture in verse 39 simply say, and did not know that the flood came and took them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. That word there, coming, is the word parousia, mm-hmm. which secret rapturists will say exclusively describes the secret rapture.
Before the 7-year tribulation.
Before the 7-year tribulation. However, the challenge with that is Luke chapter 17, which tells us the same story.
Now, before you get there, though, I was looking at these other texts. Right after that, it says, then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, and the other left. So the secret rapture says, at this parousia, the secret rapture, one's taken to heaven. The other is the lost person, and they're left, and they're still going about their daily activities. And it's like, whoa, I just missed out on the rapture because all these Christians have vanished.
Absolutely.
That's that, and that's preached on. I mean, whole books are written on those two texts, 40 and 41.
Absolutely. And what we need to then do, though, we need to read the next text. Verse 42 says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. And then we need to go to the introductory text of verse 36, which mm-hmm. says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. What is Jesus getting at? Is Jesus getting at here that the second coming is going to be some secret? Or is he really pointing out the fact that he's calling for us to be ready whenever that may happen? Mm-hmm. And we're going to deal with in just a moment, what is this text alluding to, that two men are in the field, two women will be grinding, one taken, one left?
Yeah, and he uses the metaphor here, the story, as an example of the time of Noah. They didn't know until the flood came and took them all away. So also with the coming of the Son of Man, they didn't know the day and the hour of the flood.
Exactly.
Even God's people didn't.
And the interesting thing about this, Gary, is, was Noah's flood a secret?
Not at all.
It wasn't a secret at all. Noah preached for over 100 years. He preached telling everyone that the flood was coming. And then beyond that, he's building a boat that is a football field and a half long and a football field wide. That's not a secret.
So you were going to say there's a parallel text to Matthew 24, Luke's version of this.
Yes, in Luke chapter 17, this is key as we look at these Greek words of parousia and apocalypsis. In Luke 17, the parallel version of the same story in verses 26 through verse 30, same introduction as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. And we're going to skip down past 27 and 28 and 29. And then verse 30, it says, even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed.
Apocalypsis, probably.
And that is the word apocalypsis. And so Matthew tells the story, and they're the same story, same teaching. But Matthew uses the word parousia, which secret rapturists say is the secret rapture. But then Luke, telling the exact same story, says apocalypsis, which secret rapturist says is when he's revealed.
It just kind of blows that whole argument out of the water, doesn't it?
It's very problematic to the teaching.
And this, verse 27. So verse 26 you read, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all.
Correct.
And that's what Jesus says the second coming is going to be like, his return. It destroys all those who are lost. It doesn't leave them alive.
Absolutely. And the key here, and we're going to get into this later in the show, but Gary, one of the essential flaws of the secret rapture teaching is the idea that destruction does not come at the parousia and that there is a second chance. And this is very problematic to the Christian because Jesus is teaching in Luke 17 and Matthew 24, the emphasis, watch therefore, be ready, watch therefore, be ready. Why would Jesus say that if he was going to give an extended 7 years where you could reorganize your life and get things together?
And it's so, and that's so true. And then he says it destroys them all. There is no second chance. And if you go down here, if you read this, really, if people would just read their Bibles in the context, friends, in the context, a preacher quotes a text, go back and read the text and the text around it. Don't take their word for it. They may be good people. They just may be parroting back what they've heard others say. But go down here again where he says in verse 34, in that night there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken, the other left. Two men in the field, one taken, the other left. The disciples ask in verse 37, where, Lord? Where, Lord? And he says to them, wherever the body is, and some translations say the carcass is. The eagles or the vultures will be gathered together. That's depicting death.
Absolutely.
That's depicting destruction. And so he's saying, they're saying, where are they going to be left? And he's saying, they're going to be left dead.
Yes, and it's the same picture that the book of Revelation paints of the great gathering of the wicked, of being dead, and the eagles gathering for a feast of corpses.
All right, so we've looked at some major building blocks in the secret rapture teaching. We've looked at the Greek language. We've looked at one take and the other left. There's one other big one that comes to mind. He comes as a thief in the night.
Yes.
So he's going to sneak in here. He's going to snatch us out of here. And then we're going to wake up and say our house has been ransacked. What does it mean when the Bible says Jesus comes as a thief in the night?
We have to go back to Matthew 24. The text you're referring to is 2 Peter 3:10, just so our viewers understand, where it talks about the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night.
Okay.
But let's go to Matthew 24 and verse 44. And Jesus clearly explains what this phrase, thief in the night, means for us and what it means in the second coming.
Hold on, I read it. I'll start in verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
the teaching is clear, Gary, that Jesus is trying to demonstrate to us, if I know a thief is coming to my house, I'm going to have the police ready, I'm going to be ready, and I'm going to be ready to receive that thief to prevent him from breaking in. Jesus is simply saying, we don't know when the hour is that he's coming back, and we must be in a continual and perpetual state of readiness.
So it's all about timing.
I mean, about timing.
And we read earlier an additional text. I mean, we mentioned two times there. He says hour. It bookends that topic of the thief in the night. And then a third time he talks about it's the timing. Now, 2 Peter 3, verse 10.
Yes.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And most preachers stop right there at the comma, friend. Don't stop. Keep reading. In which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Doesn't sound secret to me, Chris.
And it begs to ask the question, when we read, and sometimes, Gary, we try to make the Bible more complicated than it is. There is a great noise. The elements are melting with fervent heat. The earth is being burned up.
It's not even going to sustain life.
How can that be a secret? How can you not notice those things happening around you? It is clearly not a secret. And again, the key is we must read the entire text, not just a portion of the text, to prove what we think or what we want to say.
Wow. This has explosive ramifications. And I hope that you are listening carefully, taking notes. But listen, I've got a study guide for you. You contact us here, and we will send you a study guide that covers all the text that we're covering tonight right here from Disclosure. It's yours free. You can call us here in North America at 888-730-HOPE. I check my text messages. You want to be part of the program, you can call in. I'd like to hear your questions. Maybe you say, yeah, but what about there's another text? Let's talk about it tonight. This program's yours. You can be part of the program today. So call us, contact us. You can email us as well. And please be sure to request the study guide. Now, when we come back, we are going to talk to the foremost expert on where did the secret rapture teaching come from. If it's not in the Bible, you don't want to miss it. We're talking about the secret rapture tonight. We're looking at what the Bible has to say about it. We've looked at a number of the texts that are used to prove the rapture is secret, and we're not finding a whole lot of proof there. So the question is, where does it come from? We want you to be part of the program. Please call us, contact us, and you can get on the program. We'll be going to the phones very shortly. Also, I want to tell you about our free study guide. It's yours free. Just go to our website, hopetv.org/disclosure, and you can order this and we'll send it to you right away. Now, joining us today is someone very special. Chris, we are privileged to have Dave McPherson. He's an author. He's a researcher of a number of books. And in fact, he has done some of the most extensive research on where the secret rapture teaching comes from. I mean, this is just pure history that he's going to share with us. And he joins us now on the phone from Kansas. Dave, welcome to Disclosure.
Well, my honor to be on your show. I'm overawed and honored to be in the presence of you scholarly gentlemen. And I was going to say, if you were any more scholarly, you'd either be twins or maybe quadruplets.
Well, listen, it's our honor to have you. I certainly don't claim to be a scholar, but I am a learner. But I have always treasured your books in my library as a go-to book whenever I teach on the secret rapture. One I got a number of years ago, The Incredible Cover-Up, and the three R's, rapture, revisionism, robbery. You've got the rapture plot out. Listen, I'm so glad that you're here. Can you help us understand the history of the secret rapture teaching? Did the disciples teach this? Did Paul teach it? Did the early Christian church teach it? At what point do we see this coming up in the Christian church?
Well, I've traced this back to a young woman in Scotland by the name of Margaret MacDonald. And I've been accused of starting a whole lot of nonsense. I've been accused of everything. But I found that this was well known. I didn't make this up. It was well known in prophecy circles for decades and decades, and then it was quietly swept under the rug. Nowadays, it's easy to pick up a book on the origins of dispensationalism, and you hear Darby this, Darby that. That's a reference to John Nelson Darby of the Plymouth Brethren, a small group that started in Britain in the early part of the 1800s. Well, to make a long story short, I found that John Darby, who's been credited with the secret pre-tribulation rapture, wasn't original or first on any aspect of dispensationalism, including the pre-tribulational rapture. The any moment rapture that is so heard constantly on radio and TV here, and especially in America.
So the secret rapture and teaching, you're saying, dates back to the 1800s, the early 1800s. Are you telling me that's as far back as this teaching goes with John Darby and this young lady you referenced, McDonald?
Yes. I found, to make a long story short, I found that Darby got it from another group called the Irvingites. Those were the followers of Edward Irving, a London preacher. And Irving and his group got it from this Margaret McDonald.
Now, she must have been some biblical scholar that discovered this missing truth.
This was an age in which men were supposed to get credit for everything. She had four strikes against her. She was a female. She was young. She was uneducated, and she'd been a Christian for only a year.
Mm.
But immediately, the men gave themselves credit for this. And she should have been one of the most influential and famous females of all time.
Well, how did she come up with it, Dave? Did she find this in the Bible?
Yes, she claimed to find it in the Bible. She had been ill for a year and a half, very seriously ill, and one morning she claimed to have been healed about this. And then she wrote down her account of something, because on one of those evenings, she didn't say which evening it was, but it was early in 1830, and I can only say that it was between February 1, 1830, and April 14, 1830. I tell about this in my book, The Rapture Plot. And anyway, she said that she had been noticing scriptures, all based on scripture, and her little account, which is 117 lines long, is packed with verses or parts of verses. She said it wasn't something, you know, strange like a voice out of the sky or an occultic vision or something. It was just her view, her interpretation of scripture. And she noticed that the word taken, she noticed the references to the word taken, and she noticed that something happens after Matthew 24:40 is taken, as well as after 2 Thessalonians 2:7. Taken in one is taken and the other is left. Mm-hmm. And then we have he who hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked one be revealed. So she put the two together, and she came up with the idea that after the rapture, others would be left on earth for something less desirable. In other words, for the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
One's taken, the other's left. The other's left to be on earth when the wicked one is revealed. But as you have pointed out, she had faulty interpretation there.
Mm-hmm. So she has this vision, she has this experience, and she comes up with this. And Edward Irving, this was kind of a charismatic movement going on in the 1830s with a strong emphasis on the second coming, isn't it?
That's true, yeah.
A lot of ecstatic utterances and speaking in tongues and the like. And then out of this comes this, and Darby picks it up and systematizes it into dispensationalism. But what I find interesting from your research is that this was not taught before this time. That the Christian church actually taught something that was much more clearer and true to the Bible, and that was of a one coming, one return of Jesus, not a two-stage coming separated by 7 years.
That's true. That's true. Yes.
Now, Darby, he was in England. How did this teaching get over here to America?
He came to America seven times between 1862 and 1877, many places in the Midwest and the East Coast and in Eastern Canada.
Okay, so he came over and taught it. But it was popularized by an American, wasn't it, here in America later on?
Oh, yeah, Scofield. Scofield got it from James Brooks, and James Brooks got it from Darby.
So you've actually traced where this just gets passed down from Margaret MacDonald's ecstatic experience and just gets right traced down to Scofield. And by the way, viewers, Scofield wrote the first, I think I'm correct, correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, but the first study Bible, as it were, with copious notes in it, and he incorporated dispensationalism and the secret rapture in there. Am I correct on that, Dave?
I wouldn't say it was the first with notes.
Okay.
There's some other Bibles had notes, but it was certainly the first that expressed this new view. And by the way, John Darby called it a brand new view. He spoke of the new wine. He said the thoughts are new. And several decades later, in his letters, which have been preserved, he gloated over the fact that that people didn't know how it sprung up and whence it came and how it sprung up all of a sudden. He was happy that people didn't know how recent it had been.
Yeah,
he borrowed it or plagiarized those that had been teaching it before him.
Yeah, it's amazing what you revealed, and I wish we had time to go into the connection with Hal Lindsey and his popularizing of this closer to our day. But from your study, you're saying this is a recent view, but that's not the real problem with it. The real problem is that it's not biblically based.
Absolutely not. Yes, all the greatest scholars of the past, all the greatest Greek scholars, those who wrote the commentaries and the lexicons. But by the way, your listeners can go to Google and type in famous rapture watchers. That's one of my many internet articles, and they can just see with the sources and pages what all the greatest Christian leaders from the very beginning down to the present day, what they said, for instance, how they interpreted Revelation 3:10. Now pre-tribs use that as that's a proof we're going to be caught up and raptured away, but not one of those Greek scholars said, they said it meant preservation through, not being raptured away.
Amazing, amazing. Well, Dave, thank you for taking the time to join us. We want to have you back someday on the program in the studio with us to do a whole program on this. But thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Well, my pleasure.
Yeah. And I want to remind you that you can be part of the program. We're going to take a break now. We're coming back. We have many people on the phone. We have somebody from Australia we're going to, so hang on. We'll be right back. And be sure to contact us. Go to our website, get the free study guide and more information on this amazing topic. Stay with us. Welcome back. We are talking about the secret rapture. I imagine I got people on in their homes around the world saying, he's messed up. He doesn't know the truth. Call us. Let's talk about it. Hey, we're Christians. We're in this together. And we're going to talk about the secret rapture here. We've looked at a number of things already. And Chris, we got people calling. And I know that we have people on the phone right now. I believe we have somebody all the way from Australia. Thank you for calling. And it's Chris from Australia. Chris, welcome to Disclosure. We may have a long lag there, too. Chris, are you there in Australia? Oh, we may have lost him. We may have lost him.
He's Hello?
There you are. Hey, Chris.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. Good day to you.
Okay, thanks. Can you please speak up a bit because you verified the voice?
I'm not sure I understood what you said. I'm here on Disclosure, and you are live on the program all around the world. What's your question or comment, Chris?
It's in regards of the rapture, the word First of all, it's a Latin word, and it's written in the Greek, in English Bibles. And hearing the gentleman who was talking with you earlier, and he read the Greek script, the original, and the word arpagi or arpaxi, it is from Thessalonians, the first letter to Thessalonians, chapter 4, and if he reads, or if you like to read verse 17, and it there clearly explains the word or pronounces the word arpagi.
That's right. And that's in the English, it's caught up. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So that's the word you're looking at that's translated into caught up in the English, right?
Yes, but that is arpaxi. Yes, it's explaining exactly what's going to happen. The dead will rise first, and us, the living, will be, I'll say it in English as it's known, raptured, mm-hmm. or arpaxi in Greek, up in the air with the Lord, and we'll be with him forever.
Okay, now, Chris, that's very good. I want to go to the other Chris now for the sake of time. And you stay by. And Chris, what about it? The word caught up, he's saying, arpai is the word rapture. Do we even need to get into Greek to understand this?
Well, it's interesting. If we read the whole text there, beginning in verse 14, mm-hmm. we gain context to what exactly Paul is talking about. For if we believe, verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians 4, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. And then it gives us a description of what happens. Mm-hmm. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So we have the voice, the shout, and the trumpet.
Okay.
All very audible situations, yes, to let us know that this is not a secret. But this is also tied into 1 Corinthians 15, and I think that's where we need to go. 1 Corinthians 15:51 tells us what is happening at that same time.
Okay, so just to underscore here, this gentleman, Chris, from Australia, says that the Greek word for caught up is the secret rapture. This is when the dead in Christ are caught up. This is when the living Christians are caught up. And secret rapture teaching, all the wicked are left alive to live here for 7 more years under the rule of the Antichrist. But it's a secret coming. He comes in the night as a thief in the night. Nobody sees him. Nobody hears him. But the text clearly says he descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. And this phrase, trumpet of God and shout, is used multiple times to describe the return of Jesus. So let's read 1 Corinthians 15.
1 Corinthians 15, and beginning in verse 51 and 52, says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound. Again, it's a very mm-hmm. audible event. Mm-hmm. And the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So this is an audible event, but now there's a visual event going on that the dead in Christ are being raised.
Yes. So he comes with the shout and the trumpet of God. In fact, in John 5:28, Jesus says, all who are in the graves will hear his voice.
Yes. And it's very interesting. I knew a pastor friend of mine who, when he moved to a new place, he bought a home right across the street from a cemetery, and his children didn't like that idea. And then he said, children, I need to tell you, on resurrection morning when Jesus comes again, you will have the best seats
front
in the whole place. Front row seats, because this will be an audible event. The dead in Christ will be rising. And then we see in Revelation 1:7 says, every eye will see him. So not only do we have an audible event, but we have a visual event.
Yeah, and what's clear here, folks, is as you look at this, when Jesus comes, the dead in Christ rise. Yes, they're caught up. and the living Christians are caught up together with them in the air. But it doesn't happen in whisper secret. There's a shout. There's the trump of God. And we read even in 1 Corinthians 15, as we just did, that this wakes the dead. This is a very loud, audible thing. And it's visible as well. I mean, people are watching the dead popping up out of the graves. It's not like invisible spirits, and you have to have spiritual eyesight to see it. This is coming up because, as Chris just read, they are given immortal bodies. They're given new bodies that can sustain the atmosphere of heaven. And another thing, Chris, is that when Jesus comes, Matthew 25, 31 says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. And it says He'll gather the sheep together and all this. So when He comes and brings His reward with Him, all the holy angels come with Him.
That's right. That's
and it's not invisible because Revelation 1, 7, as you already pointed out, says, behold, He comes with clouds. Every eye shall see Him.
That's right.
Every eye.
Every eye. And Acts 1, 11, this is just after Jesus has delivered that last commission to His disciples. He ascends to heaven, and His disciples are standing, gazing up in heaven, and angels visit them. And in Acts 1:11, it says, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heavens will so come in like manner as you saw Him go." Jesus didn't just secretly disappear. They saw Him ascending to heaven, and the angels assure the disciples that just as they saw Him, they will see Him come back.
All right, very good. Now, listen, I appreciate Chris calling all the way from Australia to talk to another Chris here in America. Maybe you have a question or a comment. There's still time for you to be part of the program. I encourage you, pick up the phone. You can email me. You can text me. I can get it right here. And I want you to be part of the program. Maybe you have a question or a comment. You don't have to agree. That's the great thing about disclosure. We can talk together and we can study together. And so please contact us and be part of the program. And also, you can go online to our website and you can order the free study guide on this topic. And listen, you really owe it to yourself and to your family, your loved ones, to study this out and know this. Chris, there are other things. I'm waiting for somebody to call and say, you know, what about the seven-year tribulation? You know, I had a lady one time, we were studying together, and she was just intent on asking and getting answered her question, is the rapture before the tribulation or after? And when I said, the Bible says it's after the tribulation, she just lost it because her whole religious experience was based on getting out of here before this horrible time of trouble as it had been described to her, because she wasn't that secure, quite frankly, in her relationship with the Lord. I mean, look what Peter went through.
Yes.
He was crucified upside down. What Paul went through, beheaded, and other Christians down through the centuries. Even today, there are Christians being persecuted for their faith. And yet, we want to be raptured out of here all of a sudden. Does the Bible say that the rapture comes before the tribulation?
Well, absolutely not. And I know our viewers can go to the Disclosure website and see. You and I actually did a program together with Derek Morris where we talked about Daniel chapter 9, where that 7 years comes from. But as we study the book of Revelation, we clearly see that God's people are being prepared to live through the tribulation. But that 7 year tribulation comes from Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. And it is the 70-week prophecy. The challenge with the 7 years being detached, because remember, the 490-year prophecy, the 70-week prophecy of Daniel 9, is happening all leading up to the coming of the Messiah. The 7 year tribulation, they take that 7 years, that 1 week, and they displace it 2,000 years ahead of time. Here's the problem. In Daniel chapter 9, 27, and I know we're running out of time. We don't have a lot of time to get there. But Daniel 9, 27, which deals with that last week, the secret rapturists take a verse that applies to the Messiah, and they apply it to the Antichrist by moving that 7 years way out in the distant future. It just doesn't work with biblical studies to take this 7 years and put it off in the distant future and separate it from the 490-year prophecy of Daniel 9.
And as Chris said, you can go onto the Disclosure website. You can look at that program on Daniel 9 that we did to get more information on. Well, we're out of time in this segment. We're coming back after the break with your questions, your comments. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, my apologies. I thought we had more time to take more of your questions. But listen, there's always more time with Disclosure. We'll be back again next week. But you know, today we've put the secret rapture theory to the Bible test. I appreciate Chris coming on to share with us and get us into the Bible. And we found that it's not taught in Scripture. Now, I know this may be a radical teaching for many of you, and you hear the secret rapture all the time from pastors. You read it in books. You watch people on other TV networks expound it. So how can so many people be wrong? Well, it's not the first time that lots of people have been wrong. I mean, do you remember the flat earth belief? What about Nazi Germany? And I'm not trying to equate this with Nazi Germany, but what about all of those people that were wrong? Wrong with tragic consequences. Now listen, don't forget that we're in a spiritual battle. The devil just loves for people to accept beliefs like the secret rapture that ultimately teach that there's a second chance for salvation, as Chris mentioned earlier in the program. I know someone's going to say, well, that's not what it teaches. But it does, friend. The teaching is that all who are left behind will have an opportunity to be converted during the tribulation. Oh, it'll be a hard time for sure, but there still is salvation. Now, I was a non-Christian when someone first told me about the secret rapture, trying to scare me straight. But I reasoned that if they were right, I could just live like the devil until the rapture. And then I could straighten up my act and live for God the following 7 years and be saved. This way I could have both worlds. If the Christians weren't right about Jesus and the rapture, then I reason, I'll not have lost anything living for the world. Listen, friend, there's no second chance for salvation after Jesus returns. Today is the time in which His mercy pleads with us to accept His grace. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Perhaps you need to make a decision for Jesus. You can give Him your heart right now, and you can be ready when Jesus returns. And to you who know Jesus, please don't take my word for the secret rapture, or the word of any other preacher for that matter. Take the word of God. Study it out. Contact us. Get the free study guide that we're giving away today. You owe it to yourself to really look at this. So go online right now or give us a call, because this is so important. You must study it out and know it. Well, our time is up, and until next time, I'm Gary Gibbs, and you've been watching Disclosure. Thank you so much for joining us.